for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, May the 25th, 2007. Frank Mazzullo, Jr. is the speaker of this service, teaching on the spirit of jealousy.
Frank Mazzullo!
Yeah, I'm Italian. I speak with my hands. I need a wireless mic. My mom and dad used to say I was the loudest kid in the house. I still am. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege it is to come and stand before you an honor to bring you the word today. My name is Frank Mazzullo, Jr. I'm pastor of Christian Covenant Fellowship in DeLand, Florida. I was listening to what was going on in the Holy Spirit as we were starting this, and I echo everything that was said and done. I heard in the Holy Spirit the Lord saying, I want you to, you know, God is good and He's gracious and He's loving and He's kind and He's everlasting and He's merciful. At the same time, He is just, He is righteous, He is holy, and He judges. And I have several things here that have been burning in me as we were going. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? The Holy Spirit has come to give you kind of like a pop quiz right now. He is testing you to test to see if you are in the faith. You know, Hebrews says that the word is active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts to the bone, through the marrow, to the intention of the heart. And the Lord wants you to judge yourself today. He wants you to look at yourself today. In lieu of this teaching is going to be about deliverance and about the spirit of jealousy. But before I start it, the Holy Spirit's asking you to look at yourself and judge the intention of your heart. Judge who you are in the Lord. There's a scripture in Matthew. It says, Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, many a Christian I've come in contact with, and I've had deliverance with thousands of people. I've done deliverance for thousands of people. And I've come to find out that a lot of them just like to practice lawlessness. And they get into the sin, and they're enjoying the sin, but they said the sinner's prayer, you see. And they think, and I'm telling you, I'm going to challenge you to look at yourself to see if you are a true convert or a false convert. You know, one of the good things about being an evangelist is I get to come in and mess your hair up a little bit. And it makes you look at you want to go back to the mirror and comb it right away. But I want you to look at yourself with your hair messed up a little bit tonight. Look at yourself with your hair messed up a little bit tonight. You know, test yourself. I don't understand, you know, why we just don't do that more often, to test ourselves to see if we are truly in the faith. You know, Hebrews the word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Wow. It cuts right through. It judges the thoughts. So tonight when I'm reading the Word to you, let that Word judge you. Let it pierce you. Let it cut you open. Let it cleave you open. Look at that yourself in light of the Word. And also, there was something I was reading. I had a 5-hour layover in Dallas, which was a lot of fun. Please. But I'm wrecking the house here. Okay, so praise God. I saw something in 1 John I'd like to read to you, and I had nothing to do, and I said, "Oh Lord, what do I do in 5 hours?" And he just started reading. And so I came to 1 John 3, and I found this scripture, and it reminded me of I'll tell you what, let's go over to 1 John 5 first. 1 John 5, verse 13. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So the apostle is writing, "These things I have written to you who believe." Who's a believer? Come on. You're believers, right? All of you, some of you? Come on. Oh, okay. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." So here is the apostle, and he's saying, you could be assured of one thing, you have eternal life. And here's the thing, I wrote to you so that you'll know. So that you will know. You know, we're supposed to be put to the test for a reason. So that we know. So that we know. Look at this now. Back it up to find out what these things are he wrote. What did John write? What did the Apostle John write? That we may know that we have eternal life. Look back here with me. You see, it's about deliverance. Yeah, tonight we're going to do deliverance. But if I don't share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I walk away here and I've done a vain thing. I come in here to change lives. The Lord has brought me here to be a hammer. Yes, I've come to hammer some things in the name of Jesus. But unless I teach you to look at yourself in light of the gospel, unless you judge yourself, if I don't do this, I haven't done my job. Now, what are these things that we may know? Here, John 3, watch this. "And everyone who has fixed his hope on..." John 3:3. "And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure." Watch this. "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness." Lord, I read to you before. I read to you about, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Those were the words of Jesus. Watch this now. "Everyone who practices sin practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him." Little children, make sure that no one deceives you. Little children, make sure that no one deceives you. Little children, make sure that no one deceives you. "The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God." Go back to Matthew. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Salvation is not on the basis of your knowing about Jesus Christ. Salvation is not on the basis that you said a sinner's prayer. Salvation is not that you've gone out and ministered to other people and proclaimed Jesus. It's not salvation. Jesus is saying that you will enter the kingdom of heaven by this. You who do not... What? Come on. You who practice law, says the parvenu, stand away from me. I don't know you, he says. So it's on the basis of how, not what you think. I mean, because, you know, or not what you feel. I said the sinner's prayer, not how you feel in your heart, because the heart is despicably wicked. It's not because you think you said the prayer, you think you feel. It's not because of that, because there's going to be a lot of people who stand there and say, I feel that I said the sinner's prayer. That should get me in. I feel, I thought. And then he'll say, I don't know. I don't know you. You who like to practice sin. You who keep it going. You see, it's not on the basis of what you do. It's not on the basis of what you think. It's what you think about sin. It's about what you believe sin is to you. If you believe that sin, it's all washed away, you can continue to do it, not! Don't hold those thoughts in your head and say, I can do sin. There'll be many on that day that says, but Lord, I said, and I did. And he'll say, I don't know you. Because you didn't have the right attitude towards sin. So, with that, I start the meeting. Praise God. What we're going to do is deliverance tonight. And the reason why we do deliverance is because we want to clean the house. There's a lot of times we're trapped into sins. We don't know why we're doing them. Sometimes they're generationally come down through the heritage. And sometimes we are caught up in things. But I want you to understand, the devil wants to get you to the place where you're practicing lawlessness. He wants to get you there. So that on that day when you stand before the Lord, you know, he'll say, I win. Do you want him to win? No. Right, I'm going to talk to you about the spirit of jealousy tonight. And I was toying with the idea of doing another one, but the Holy Spirit kept on going in this direction. Jealousy. I was listening to a CD one day on Plumline Ministries and how the speaker, Arthur Burt, was speaking on jealousy. And it opened my eyes to many different things on how this affects lives, how it affects people, and the many possibilities of what the Spirit may cause. And as the narrator continued, and he spoke to spoke about a group of ministers that were coming over from Israel to America to do a tour in America. And three of the key people were involved in this process, developed heart attacks. And the reason why I'm speaking about this is because I believe this is real. I believe this is real. It happened to me. So I understand this. And as the narrator spoke about coming to America, and this group came to America, three of these key people in the position developed heart attacks, and the ministry was thwarted at that time. It came to a halt. And they did the standard warfare against the spirit of heart attacks. They prayed against heart attacks. They did what they thought was right in this ministry. And three more people developed heart attacks. So a total of six people. And the key people in this ministry that came over to America to minister in 20 cities in America developed heart attacks. Six people, key people in their ministry. It just stopped. The whole thing stopped dead in its tracks. And so inquired, and they got a group of intercessors together, and they inquired of the Lord, and the word of knowledge was given to one of them in a form of a question. And the question was anyone excluded on this tour? Was anybody excluded on this tour? And then there was an investigation done, and they found out that there was a group of people in Israel who were denied going on the tour, and some in America were denied going on the tour. And so they concluded that this was a spiritual attack. And they concluded that this was, because of the recovery was so quick from these people, they concluded that this was all spiritual. And so they said, okay, this has got to be something here. And they decided it's not a biological problem, so it's got to be a spiritual problem. So they decided that there was a demonic influence behind this, And they decided that it was jealousy. The Holy Spirit gave them a word of knowledge and it was jealousy. And so they went ahead and started to pray to find out if this would stop it. They prayed that the spirit of jealousy be bound, and it left. And the ministry continued on, and it went throughout the 20 cities. Now, they came to find out there was other things that were involved in this. They went on their tour of duty without incident after that, and the Plumb Line Ministries came to understand that there was a variety of illnesses and attacks that seemed to stem from the spirit of jealousy. It even rested inside of buildings. When there was the children took over a building, and they had a nursery school in a building, and it became filled with problems, just problem after problem after problem. They come to find out that the tenants in that building were a jealous group of people, and they brought the intercessors back in. They bound the spirit of jealousy in the name of Jesus Christ, and the spirit stopped in that room. There was peace in that room. So then they found out, and as they went along, they found out there was more and more things that were involved in the spirit of jealousy. And they found out that that was at the root of many, many dangerous and even deadly things that happened. Now, jealousy is a part of man's fallen nature, and it afflicts everyone. It afflicts layman and minister, congregation, everybody that's afflicted with jealousy one time or another. Now, I've got a couple of scriptures here I want you to read with me. And if you'll turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 14. Now, watch this. Satan. We're talking about Satan now. Watch this. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You've been cut down to the earth. You who have weakened the nations, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven, and I'll rise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. Did you read that? What drove Satan to rebel against God? He was jealous. He was jealous of God's glory, God's honor, His excellence. He was jealous of it all. He wanted to get above God. And we find that this is not just an isolated thing here. We find out throughout all of history of mankind, we have a jealous thing happening in Scripture. You have what happened in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve, they were turned away from God because the spirit, that serpent, was jealous of God, and he turned them away. And we find out that, you know, that Cain and Abel, what happened there in the field? Cain killed Abel. Why? He was jealous. The offering that his brother was more acceptable than his own. So he got jealous and he killed his brother. And so jealousy is attached to murder. You see that? So we can see jealousy is attached to murder. And what happened with Job? Why did Satan go before the throne of God? He's jealous of a righteous person. He's jealous. And so he goes before the throne of God and he says, come on, just drop your hedge of protection and see what he does. And so he's tempting God. But it was more than that. It was jealousy. And at the root of it was jealousy. You see? He's fiercely jealous of God. And he's fiercely jealous of the worship that we extend to God. He wants, oh, by the way, if that's a pizza, I want pepperoni and mushroom. All right. Excuse me. It's a forbidden fruit. I'm sorry. See, these are marvelous things here. Turn them off. Don't be distracted. So the spirit of jealousy. Let me get my train of thought back here. Okay, so we fast forward in the Bible. We come to the Antichrist. And what happens here is that he's not satisfied with just taking power over the whole world. He wants to kill all of mankind. He's fiercely jealous of the creation of God. He's fiercely jealous. So, you turn on the TV set, what do you see? You see violence. What happened? The husband got jealous of the wife. The wife got jealous of the husband. Bam. Jealousy. You see this on TV all the time. Now, if you'll be kind enough to turn to the 28th chapter of Ezekiel. Right? Watch this now. Verse number 12. Son of man. Chapter 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection. We're talking about Satan again. Okay? You had a seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, and ruby and topaz and diamond and beryl and onyx and jasper and the lapis, the lazuli. What's that? Lazuli. Is that an Italian dish, lazuli? No. The turquoise and the emerald and the gold of the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. Boy, this guy was set right. Satan was beautiful. I mean, you know, he was created in such intricate detail. And so, on the day that you were created, you were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were initially filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings. Now, by the multitudes of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you, and it has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth. Here was the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful angel ever created. Now watch this. He walked with God. He was blameless until unrighteousness was found in him. God, he was the God's right-hand man. All right? Here we have him. Now watch this. Psalm. Watch, go. Go with me. Psalm. Psalm 8. Verse 3 through 9. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. Ooh! My goodness. And you crowned him with glory and majesty. God crowned us above the angels, above Lucifer, the most splendid, spectacular. Wouldn't that cause a little jealousy in his heart? Wouldn't that cause a little jealousy in his heart? I'd say cause a lot of jealousy in his heart over mankind. You see? You make him to rule. You made man to rule over the works of your hands. Man gets to rule, not the angels. Oh my gosh. No wonder he's jealous of mankind. You put all things under his feet, under man's feet. All sheep, all oxen, all beasts of the field, the birds, the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the seas. O Lord, how majestic is your name on all the earth. Listen, what happened here is that Satan goes, I wanted that glory, and man got it. I'm jealous of him. So, man, who was a little lower than the angels, was crowned to rule over the works of God. So the enemy is jealous of the things that we receive from God, as well as the worship that we give him. He's jealous. He wanted it. He wanted it. Now, there's three common patterns of jealousy. See if you fit in any one of these. Remember, let the Word of God judge you tonight. Let it judge you. And by the way, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind every religious spirit in here that came in through those doors with you. Did you bring your demons? All right. Because tonight we're going to get rid of them. All right? I don't supply demons, so I hope you brought your own. Right? So, there are three common patterns of jealousy. See if you fit. Not paying the price to do what is right. What do you mean, brother? Well, what happens here? Proverbs 22, verse 29. Watch this. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Family, you see the word skilled here? This guy took time to get it right. He took time to read the word. He took time to study, to be approved. He took time. And he will not stand before obscure people. And so, when you see this guy took time to get it and practiced and perfected it, he took no shortcuts, cuts to the top, by the way. And there's many people in the church that get jealous when they see something like this because they wanted to get ahead. Why did that guy move to the front of the line and not me? You see, I'm telling you, each one of us here, including moi, has been jealous. If you say that you've never been jealous, you're a liar. I'm going to tell you that. Right? Every one of us here have been jealous over something at one point in a life or another, or our ancestors were. And so there's a spirit that could have come down through our ancestors of jealousy. So, anyway, family, now that we look at this in a little bit better light, I want you to see why you're not willing to pay the price to get to the top, you see? But you're jealous of the person that did. And so, it's kind of like making an end run around God, like Cain did. He tried to make an end run around God to get his sacrifice done a different way. So these people are filled with jealousy, and they're accepted by kings, and we get jealous of that sometimes. Not all of us here, but just some of us here. All right, so I'm just saying that in case you say, I've never been jealous in my life. Right. Genesis, we read that already, about the spirit of murder that could come in. Genesis 4, 6 through 8, Cain and Abel. So you can jot that one down. Now, number two, the first one is not paying the price to do what was right. That was Proverbs 22, 29. The second one is insecure in your position. Insecure in your position. Saul did not even go to his coordination until the third time he was called. He was constantly insecure. And he was consistently and constantly insecure in his reign. He was jealous of David, who he thought was going to seize his throne. A little shepherd boy, he was jealous of him. He threw a spear at him, wanted to kill him. He was murderous. Now, jealousy will arise, another way, jealousy will arise when the sovereignty of God is manifested. Watch this now. Your church is doing something. Your church is doing a great and mighty move. How many come from different churches here? Okay? All right. Your churches are doing great and mighty moves. You've got prayer vigils. You've got pastors' meetings. You've got evangelistic outreaches. And you're going like madmen out there. And you're trying to do the kingdom of God's work. And then some unknown person walks into town and just says, Jesus Christ is Lord. And revival starts. All right? And you go, wait a second. What about us? You know? You know? So, jealousy could start by a move of God's hand. Just outright a move of God's hand. And it'll arise out of the sovereignty of God. Just like that. People get jealous of the sovereignty of God and His move. I've seen it happen over and over and over. When God moves upon a man and decides to elevate another man above another. Sovereignly. I've seen that happen. You know, there's a part in the Bible that I don't remember where it is, but Jesus said, don't take the lesser seat, come on over here and sit in the higher seat. Right? You remember that part? I don't remember where it is in Scripture. But it's at the banquet, right? And, you know, don't sit over here. Come on over here and take the higher seat. And when that happens, it really just irks a lot of people in the room. They get irked by that. And I'm going to come back to that a little later on because I want to hit on that a little bit more. Matthew, when I got saved, all I thought of, there was only one book in the Bible. It was Matthew. I just stayed in it. Matthew 20. Watch this. I'm going to just hammer away at this one a little bit. Matthew 20. And we find here, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idly in the market. And those, he said, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' And they also went. Again, he went out on the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day long?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' And he said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first.' When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought they would have received more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner." Ever been there before? I hear some of you laughing. Saying, "The last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the scorching heat of the day." But he answered and said to them, "Friend, am I doing you no wrong? Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But if I wish to give the last man the same as you, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye evil, envious, jealous, because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last." You see, a lot of times people get upset when they see the sovereignty of God. They get upset when they see the generosity of God fall upon one person. And they say, "How come I didn't get it? How come I didn't get it?" Well, this is basically as they are feeling displaced. Someone was elevated above them. They feel that way. You felt that way too, displaced. In each of the case of jealousy, someone has been displaced. Whenever you hear jealousy, think of the word displaced. They feel displaced. Somebody thinks they may have been displaced by the coming change of the church. "Why, we don't play music that way. How come I've got a... I don't want to be here anymore. I can't... I don't want that type of music in my church." Anybody ever hear that in their church before? And they're displaced. They're jealous of the worship. And so the question is, why does jealousy have so much power? That's one of the main questions I want to ask you tonight. Why does it have so much power? It has to come in into agreement. Watch this. You know, who do you come in agreement with? The devil, that's right. You come in an agreement with the devil. In other words, when Satan, when another human being becomes jealous of someone, then all of the devil's hatred can now funnel through that human being to the other person. All right, are you listening? Many of you have operated and worked in the devil's camp, not knowingly, out of the spirit of jealousy. You know, Matthew 18, 18 through 19 tells us that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, doesn't the devil pervert everything that God says and does? Doesn't he twist the laws? Doesn't he take what is a divine law, a principle, and then he corrupts it? Well, I guarantee you, if you come in agreement with the devil, whatever you, you know, bind on earth will be loosed on earth. Whatever you... You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? If you're going to loose the hatred of the enemy on another person with jealousy, why would you do it? Why would you do it? So the devil, he doesn't mind if you, you know, if you do that. In fact, you're doing his work. Now, these are spiritual laws, and it stands to reason that Satan would distort these laws. Now, the devil is already jealous. Remember that. And if you become jealous and you're agreeing with him, if you agree with the devil and jealousy, then jealousy is loosed upon an individual with great harm. Great harm upon the individual. And it could befall that individual in such a way that it could be deadly. It could be deadly. If a person who is jealous in some form of authority, now watch this, if a minister is jealousy and he is in authority over the church, or that damage could be more severe because he used to be a working for the Lord and now he's a conduit for the enemy. I really believe that. I've seen that happen where the anointing that is falling from the minister of God all of a sudden changes to the corrupt power of the enemy over a person. I've seen that happen. And now, I'm going to tell you about when an individual denies, watch this now. When an individual denies your calling, watch this now. When someone denies your calling, when someone denies your anointing, when someone denies or devalues or denigrates or diminishes or defiles it, your anointing or your calling. How many here have been called by the Lord to do something? Come on, raise your hands. How many here are anointed to do something? You know it in your heart. You know God's called you to do something. Right? And some person comes along and tries to destroy it by speaking a word of evil into it, or even to challenge you in it. Alright? What they're doing is jealousy. What they're doing is a jealous thing. When that individual and their soulishness comes to an agreement with the hatred of the enemy, what happens here is it wreaks destruction in your life. It wreaks it, the destruction in your life. And innocent people get hurt. They get hurt. Their reputation's ruined. Their lives are ruined. All of a sudden, mishap fall upon them. They don't know how things are happening to their lives. A lot of you here, you don't know why you're in so much turmoil in your life. You have no idea. There's some turmoil going on in your life. You have no idea where it's coming from. If it could be coming from a jealous word that was spoken against you in judgment. You know, Isaiah says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, but every word that rises against you in you shall. For this is the heritage. The servants of the Lord. This is your heritage. But yet we don't understand that passage in its fullness when it comes to jealousy. We don't understand that. We just, some illness comes. And we go, okay, I come against that weapon of warfare. I'm going to teach you something tonight about that word. My wife, well, first of all, I had a heart attack. I had bypass surgery. You wouldn't know it by me dancing out here, would you? All right. Because it was a spiritual attack. I didn't know that at the time. What happened is that shortly after this, my wife had the same symptoms. And we went to the hospital. I'm still recovering from my heart attack. She's going in, and they're doing all these tests, and they're saying, looks like you got the same stuff. And the doctors are starting to write down in the charts all the symptoms. Now, I have nothing against doctors, but I do have something against bad reports. All right? And so they're writing down everything they're seeing, and they're jotting down, and she's going in for this test. Now they're going to have a test done on her to find out what's going on here. And she's got it. I mean, they gave her nitro, and it stopped. The pressure stopped, which indicated that there was a blockage. Everybody, is it medical? Anybody medical here? Okay, right? Is that what happens? Bam. Nitro, and it stopped. The pressure stopped, the pain left, which indicates that there was a blockage. So they decided that they were going to do another step to find out what's going on here. And it came to me as I'm praying there, with my wife. I'm sitting in the room with her, and I said, Lord, this is just like what happened to me. This is exactly what happened to me. And the word that I had was jealousy. I had just gotten this CD from this ministry that I was listening to, and I started understanding that this is a spirit of jealousy. And So this nurse came in out of nowhere. I think she was an angel. I really do. She came in, and she's singing in the spirit. And she's in the hospital, right? She's singing in the spirit, and she says, "Well, I see you're Christians too. Can I pray with you?" I said, "Sure." So she started into this warfare. She just went in. She says, "In the name of Jesus." She went into this warfare over my, and I said, "Hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing." I forgot. Yeah. You know? I got caught up in what was happening to her. You know? And she says, and she started going into this warfare, and she hit the topic of jealousy, and I go, "Whoa!" You know, I said, "Yes, it's jealousy. And the word that was spoken against you in judgment, we don't receive it, and you will come to nothing in the name of Jesus Christ." When I said, "You will come to nothing in the name of Jesus Christ," my wife started to do this. Some of you know my wife. She doesn't normally act like this. 20 minutes. Arms quivering, jaw going, yawning. It was a spirit of jealousy that was spoken against her. Somebody was jealous of my wife. And the devil got on track, brought his devils with him, his spirits, and they decided to kill my wife. You see? But when the Word of God came active, sharper than a two-edged sword, when that Word came, it cut through all the smoke, bam, out it came, out the spirit came, and my wife had a violent reaction right after that. You know what a violent reaction is, don't you? And out it came, and they did the test, and there was they could find absolutely nothing wrong with her. So it was a spirit of jealousy that was trying to kill her. You see that, family? And it nearly took me, too. You know, so anyway, examples. So now there's some of the examples. Someone could be jealous of Paul's wife or Jim's wife. Someone could be really upset with Paula's husband. Want Paula's husband. I wish I had a man like he was. I wonder what it'd be like to be married to them. That guy is so cool. That woman is really sharp. Boy, she'd make a good wife. Did those thoughts ever go through your head? Don't admit to it, because I don't want to embarrass you. Right? So what happens here is that the devil gets into our heads. We come in agreement with him, and we may have spoken it, or we may have thought it, and we create havoc in somebody else's life. Somebody else's life. Or somebody else has done this to you and created havoc in your life. The angel? No. I even wrote a letter to the hospital to thank, and I went there the next day, and the letter was still there in the mailbox. So I don't. Apparently, she belongs to a church in the area, so I know she's real. Now. With that, I want to hurry up through here, because there's so many things. Gosh, I'll give you a. Do I have a little more time here? All right. It's not midnight. You guys, pack your lunch. All right. So we have. I'll give you another example. I'm in a church. I'm ministering in a church. A lady comes forward and says, "Would you pray for my son?" I said, "What's wrong with him? He's got this unusual hiccup burp. The doctors don't know what it is." And I said, "Well, what does it do?" And so I'm standing there, I'm talking to the mother, and the kid goes, I said, "Okay, I see what it does." And so I go to lay hands on the child, to pray for the child. And one word came to me: witchcraft. And I commanded the spirit of witchcraft to leave the kid. The mother hits the ground. And she's on the ground squirming and screaming and crawling around like a snake on the floor, knocking all the chairs out of the way. And the kid goes this way on the ground. And I go, wow, you know, it became a circus all of a sudden. And everybody's around and everybody's, you know, calling these spirits out in the name of Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, I come to find out that this woman's husband had an affair. Watch this now. This woman's husband had an affair. The woman that he had an affair with went to a Santero, Santeria witch, to put a curse on the woman and all of her children to kill them so she could have the husband. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Only in South Florida, right?
Yeah.
So, what happens is that this woman's life, I'm digging to find out about her life and her history, I'm finding out that she's had car accident after car accident. Somebody's done this to her. She's been robbed. She's been this, been that. One thing after another. It's kind of like somebody put an invisible sign over her and said, attack. You see? And the kid... my goodness, nothing. The girl with a broken, her daughter with a broken arm, and the kid with a hiccup, and I said, my gosh, this woman's really under attack. And I've come to find out it's because a woman who used to have an affair with her husband is jealous. You see, you get right down to the bottom of it. And then put a spirit on there to kill her, to get rid of the family. So jealousy is at the root of a lot of things. And so, thank you, Lord. Now, we talked about generational curses, and I like to go back 10 generations. In fact, I've come to learn, forget the 10 generations. Go back to Adam and Eve. Right? Don't just be satisfied with 10 generational curses. I break and sever all the way back to Adam and Eve. Now, I don't even bother with 10 generational curses. I go all the way back. You know, because it could be empowered another two or three generations, empowered again by a perpetual sin that their family does. So anyway, when I cast them out, I go all the way back. And a new thing that I've been learning to do is to extend, in fact, instead of breaking the curse and saying that's it, extend the blessing for thousands of generations. Right? And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to do that tonight. Some of your children are in real trouble. Grandchildren are in real trouble. You know? And you want to extend the blessing forward. Not just cut the curse, but extend a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. So there are five primary demonic strongholds that I've come up against. Death and infirmity when dealing with jealousy. I found out that if you... that there's a victim spirit, like I was saying, that this woman's had a sign over her head, attack. There's a victim spirit attached to that too. And then there's Freemasonry, rampant with jealousy. I don't understand it, but there is. And financial curses. You'll find that the people are in poverty when there's a jealous spirit attached to them. And then, of course, mental illness and confusion in the family line. You'll find those five in that family line, in that thing. Thank you, Lord. Now, don't rejoice in the fact that we can cast demons out. Rejoice that we're in the family line of God. You see? That we're, amen, in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know? All the anointings come secondary. It's where we are in position. That's what we should rejoice over. And that's like a shield about us. What was that song we were singing? You, O Lord, da-da-da-da-da-da. As a deer, you, O Lord, are my strength and shield. There you go. He's our strength and our shield. Now, watch this. I love it. Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12. The Lord is Watch this. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. He's a shield. Now, I want to tell you, family, there's another way this shield is lowered too, when we operate in false humility. When we downplay the gifting that God has given us, when we devalue them, we diminish them, when we accept what somebody said about us. You know who you are? You're kings and priests. You're kings and priests. Somebody comes along and says, that's Sally. Oh, she's always there prophesying. Oh, you know, phooey. Or that so-and-so. I don't believe that's for today. But that's ridiculous. What they do is they diminish. They diminish. I'm sorry, I got to go back to something here. They diminish. But what Jesus did, watch this. Watch. I'm going back to Luke 10. You know, when the 70 came back? Watch. Remember the 70? The 70 came back, right? Jesus sends them out. Watch this. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers of the harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money, no belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one along the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If the man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those in it who are sick, and say to that house, the kingdom of God has come. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out in the streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Listen, why did Jesus tell them to do that? Huh? What? No. Watch this. How were they sent out? Okay, they were sent out two by two. How were they sent out? What attire? Nothing. Nothing. And so the preacher comes to town. He's wearing no shoes. He's got no money bag. He doesn't even have a change of clothes. He's probably wandered around for, I don't know, how long it takes, whatever it takes for him to wander through the desert from one place to another. He probably walks in the town. He's probably filthy, dirty, looks like a bum. Right? And he walks up to and says, I'm the Lord's representative. How many of you here would receive that man? You wouldn't. You wouldn't. What you want is the preacher that comes in the fine clothes. You want him to have the shiny shoes. You want him to have the nice suit. Right? You see? But when Jesus sent the preacher out, He made him look like the guy was a vagrant. Didn't He? Why was that? Why did Jesus do that? You see, it's not what you wear, remember. It's who you represent. They were going out representing the King of Kings, the King of Glory. And when they weren't received in such a manner, Jesus said, shake that dust off. Shake it off. You see, when you go to minister to somebody with your gifting, with your calling, with your anointing, and they don't receive you, they diminish you, they put you down, they say, oh, that guy, oh, that gal, phew, heard them 1,000 times, who wants to hear them again? When they put you down, what does the King of Kings say to do? Go to the one that receives you. Don't stick around for the ones that don't. Right? I've learned that the spirit of jealousy will attach itself to you if you hang around those people who diminish your calling. Do you hear me, family? That spirit of jealousy will hang around you and do its work in your life. So when God places you in the position of honor, you take it. You take it. You sit in that seat of honor. You sit in that seat of honor. Amen? Jesus insisted that their calling and their anointing and their ambassadorship be recognized. That's what He insisted. And that's what He's insisting for you too. Not what you look like, not, you know, who you are, but your ambassadorship be recognized. And their credentials be recognized. So, praise the Lord. With that, I want to go into some warfare. And then we'll do a little deliverance here. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for the opportunity to preach the Word to this group of people. And Lord, I come against every spirit of jealousy in the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit that would cause jealousy to be active in people, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Is this mine? No. We have similar purses, Jerry. Thank You, Lord. 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 Yeah, this is not a magic trick. I am looking for something. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. Could I have the front row come on up here, both sides? Thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come against the spirit of jealousy and the power of jealousy over the lives of these individuals. Break the power of jealousy in the name of Jesus Christ over the power of these individuals and every spirit attached to them in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to go through the crowd. Start with this row right here. You on this side over here. And I want you to do the same thing. Break the spirit of jealousy in the name of Jesus Christ. Then you guys in your chairs turn around and do it to the people behind you. You know what a wave is? Right? Like they do in the stadiums. We're going to do a spiritual wave here. Amen? Thank You, Lord. I command every spirit of jealousy to be broken and powerless in the name of Jesus. All criticism, all arrogance, all intolerance, all resentment, all perfectionism, all fault-finding, judgmental, frustration, agitation, false compassion, be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in Jesus' name. False responsibility, displacement. You, the spirits that make them pushed aside and feel like their ego's been bruised, displaced. Go in Jesus' name. Out every spirit of pride and argument and vanity and irritability. Go in Jesus' name. Anger, discontent, greed, materialism, self-righteousness. Go in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out. Self-importance, haughtiness, arrogance, indifference, finger-pointing, envy, suspicion. Go in Jesus' name. Distrust, selfishness. Go in Jesus' name. Every spirit that causes them to be this way. Go. Every spirit of jealousy. Every spirit of jealousy. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Every spirit that caused them to be pointed at and abused and misused and be a victim. Go in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Not to be recognized. Go in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Every spirit that would cause sickness and disease and disorders in the body. Go in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Infirmities and sicknesses. Go. Out. Every generational curse that came down from Adam and Eve. Go in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of jealousy. Leave in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Out. Every evil spirit. Go. In the name of Jesus, of jealousy, leave in Jesus' name. You, when you came into an agreement with the enemy by saying that you were jealous over someone, that spirit, go in the name of Jesus, out, out. When you envied somebody else's position, leave in the name of Jesus, out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. When you're jealous of your husband and the attention that he gets, go in the name of Jesus. When you're jealous of your wife, when people come in and they start talking to your wife and you get jealous. Go in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Anger, 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 anger. Go in the name of Jesus. Out every spirit of anger. Murder, 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 murder. Go in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, family, say this with me. I break
every curse
that was written
or
spoken against me
that came
down through my generational lines
all the way
back
to Adam and Eve
on both sides of my family.
When someone
put a spirit of
jealousy
on my family line
and
demons
were
assigned
to
destroy me,
I command
that
to be void
in
the name of Jesus.
Every
generational curse
all the way
back
to
Adam and Eve
be broken
and void.
I call the blood of
Jesus
to cover me,
to
sever.
Everyone
make a severing
motion.
Sever!
Every
generational curse,
especially
jealousy.
Now
I extend
a
blessing
to
my family
line.
I stand
in the gap for
them
and
proclaim
health,
prosperity,
and
wealth
in
the name of Jesus
for
thousands of
generations
ahead
of me.
Be blessed
in
Jesus'
name.
Now
every sickness
that
was caused
by a spirit,
every
spirit
that came
into my head
that
causes
strokes,
brain damage,
cancers,
tumors,
cysts,
epilepsy,
Alzheimer's
disease,
psychosis
of any kind,
schizophrenia,
paranoia,
phobias,
fears,
hallucination,
double-mindedness,
procrastination,
mind-binding
spirits,
worry,
doubt,
dread,
stress,
pressure,
spiritism,
occult
spirits,
Satanism,
nightmares,
migraine
headaches,
mental
torments,
suicide,
anything
that
comes into my
head
that
is of the devil
that
came in
through
a curse,
leave
me now
in
the name of Jesus.
Take
a deep breath,
let it go.
Go!
In the name of Jesus,
out.
Take a deep breath,
blow it out.
Go!
Out in Jesus'
name.
Out in Jesus'
name.
Out in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Put your hands right
on top of your head.
Your hands were
anointed,
remember.
Head,
be
healed
in the name of
Jesus.
I command
out of me
every
spirit
that
attacks my
eyes,
the
spirit that
causes
blindness,
glaucoma,
cataracts,
floaters,
nearsighted,
farsightedness,
lazy
eye,
cross-eyed,
dry
eyes,
weakness
of the eyes,
lust
of the eyes,
pornography,
evil
eye,
witchcraft,
any
problem of
the eye.
Leave
me now.
In
the name of
Jesus.
Take
a deep breath.
Go,
you spirits
that attack
the eyes.
Go
out
in the name of
Jesus.
Out
in Jesus'
name.
Out
in the name of
Jesus.
Out in Jesus'
name.
Out
in Jesus'
name.
Out in Jesus.
Put
your
hands
that
were
anointed
over
your
eyes
and
be healed
in the name
of Jesus
Christ.
Be
healed
in the name
of
Jesus.
Eyes
be healed
in the
name of Jesus.
Eyes
be healed
in the name
of Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, we did
this once
and
my wife
got healed
of blindness.
She
was
blind
in one
eye for
over 20
years.
And
we
prayed
and prayed and
prayed,
and nothing
happened.
Then one
day
we
just went
to
a
meeting
like this,
and
somebody
said,
"Put
your hand
over
your eye." And guess what? She took her hand away and she could see out of that blind eye. And that's my wife's testimony. But I want to tell you, it's Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's the one. He's the one. Put your hand over your... Now watch this. Put your hand over your ears. Every spirit. I did this once. And just like this. And somebody got their hearing back that was deaf for 12 years in one ear.
Every spirit
that attacks my ears, I command out of my ears. Deafness, ringing of the ears. Any spirit of earaches, ear infections, that causes inner ear problems, dizziness. What's that word that makes people dizzy? Vertigo. That spirit that causes vertigo in the inner ear. Allergies of the ear. Deafness. Anything that would cause me not to hear the Word of God correctly. Spiritual deafness. I command every spirit that twists the truth when it comes into my ear so that I don't hear it. I command those spirits to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Take a deep breath. Let them go. Go! In the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Go! Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Leave those ears now. Every spirit. Go! In Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. I command out of me. Every spirit that attacks my nose, that causes a loss of smelling, bloody nose, post-nasal drip, sinusitis, polyps, breathing difficulties, snoring, skin cancer on the nose. Go! In the name of Jesus! Everyone take a deep breath. Let it go. Out in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Now nose. Nose. Be healed. In Jesus' name. Receive your healings of your noses now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Mouth. I command out of my mouth. Every spirit that causes gum infections. Tooth decay. Cavities. Bad bite. Jaw locking, grinding of the teeth, canker sores, stuttering, dumbness, spirits of lying, spirits of swearing, blasphemy, dirty jokes, gossip, blabbermouth. I command all addictions that come into my body through my mouth, addictions to wine, to cigarettes, tobacco, beer, drugs, gluttony, anything that comes into my mouth that is profane, I command out of me all those spirits that came into my mouth. In Jesus' name, take a deep breath, let it go. Go! Out of the mouth in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Leave in the name of Jesus. Leave in Jesus' name. Leave in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Throat is next. I command out of my throat. Come on over here, brother. I command out of my throat every spirit that causes colds, viruses, infections, thyroid, goiter, malfunctions of the esophagus, of the vocal cords. I command those spirits that attack vocal cords to leave now in the name of Jesus. And laryngitis, every spirit that would attack my throat, leave now in the name of Jesus. And the spirit of jealousy that attacked my throat, leave now in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Out in the name of Jesus. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. And vocal cords be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every spirit that was choke your ministry, that was trying to choke your ministry, choke, choke, choke. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every spirit that would choke your ministry. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everybody's trying to, that's around here, that's looking at you, that got jealous of your water well.
Yes, yes, we
break it. Jealous of your well. Jealous of your land. Jealous of your property. Jealous of your ministry. Jealous of this, jealous of that. I command every spirit of jealousy to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. And every demon that was attached to it, that is attached to the spirit of jealousy, that is on an assignment to destroy your vocal cords, go in Jesus' name. That wants to put a stop to your ministry by putting a stop to your voice, I command that spirit to leave in the name of Jesus. 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 140 years. Forget the 120.
Loose the well for the kingdom.
Loose the well?
Amen.
Father, we, Lord, we loose the water in that well for your kingdom's use. For the money that comes out of that well will be spent to the kingdom of God's and the kingdom of your use, Lord. Thank you, Father, for that water. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yes. Lord, bring the people who will buy it and who will want it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You have it all under control. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Throats be healed in the name of Jesus. I command out of my back. My neck,
my joints,
my knees, that's right, your knees. Got enough hands? my arms, my legs, my ankles, my feet, my chest area, my abdomen, my pelvis, anything that is attacking me. From the spirit of jealousy. Leave me now. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Go! In the name of Jesus. Out. Stomach problems. Out. Chest problems. Out. Heart attacks. Out. Lung problems. Out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Arthritis. Pain. Spasms. Go! In Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out. Out. Malfunctions of the liver, spleen, intestines. Out. Bladder problems. Go. In the name of Jesus. Out. Backbone. Out. Backbone that's got pain. The Spirit's attacking that backbone. Go. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Out. 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 In the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. And LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.